peace with God.
FOMO. Ever heard of it? It's the fear of missing out. F-O-M-O. You've got to have your phone with you all the time for fear that you're going to miss an email or a text or something else. FOMO. If that's you, we're not saying that your phone has become your God, but...
anything that you think more of and takes your time more than the living God becomes your God.
Stay tuned for more of that teaching from Billy Graham here on Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. You're also going to hear from Billy Graham's longtime friend, Cliff Barrows, on a never-before-seen message from Billy Graham. It's called Heaven, and it's part of My Hope with Billy Graham 2014.
My dear friend Billy Graham and I have often talked about heaven, what it's going to be like.
More about the message Heaven and My Hope with Billy Graham 2014 is coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today on Peace with God, a teaching on the importance of turning your eyes toward God and away from sin. Let's listen now to the message which Billy Graham delivered during his 1985 crusade in Sheffield, England.
For our message this evening, I want you to turn with me to the 21st chapter of Luke. The 21st chapter of Luke. That's the third book in the New Testament. And beginning at verse 7. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, and put you into prisons, and bring before you before kings and rulers, for my name's sake. Then there's a strange little verse, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, back in Luke 17, 32, beginning with verse 28. It says, Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and that he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. That's my text tonight. Remember Lot's wife. Now, why would Jesus say a thing like that? A strange thing for him to say. Well, let's go back and study why Jesus said, Remember Lot's wife. It started with Abraham. Abraham was called of God. He was a friend of God. He was a great man of God. He was a great man of faith. And when God told him one day to take his only son Isaac and offer him on Mount Moriah, he did it. And he was going to offer him as a sacrifice, and God stopped his hand in midair as the knife was plunging down. And God was testing him to see how much he really loved God and how much he obeyed God. And he toured all around the Middle East. He started with Ur, and then he went to Haran with his father Terah. And he went from there to Canaan, then went to Egypt, and then back to Bethel, and back and forth throughout the Middle East, and he became very rich. He had large herds of cattle and sheep, and he had his nephew Lot with him. And his wife's name was Sarah. But there's a danger of riches and affluency. Abraham became rich, and affluency often brings spiritual poverty. And Abraham committed some sins before the Lord. He straightened them out. He confessed, and God forgave him. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes 6, a man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul. And Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get to heaven. Now, who are the rich people? The people that live in Europe, in America, in the United Kingdom, in Ireland, in this part of the world, are considered rich by the standards of many other countries of the world. Even if we have clothes on and have shoes on, we're considered rich. And Jesus said it's going to be very hard for a rich person to get into heaven. Why? Because of all the allurements of the world and because of all the dangers that it brings. Now, Lot also became rich. Abraham was rich, Lot was rich, and they decided that they would separate because their servants were not getting along with each other. And so Abraham said, all right, Lot, said, if you want to go to the right, you go to the right and I'll go left. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. You make the choice. So Lot looked down and saw in the valley the well-watered plains of the Jordan. And then he saw Sodom. And his wife and family probably were urging him. And he chose to go to Sodom. Sodom, a wicked city. You could take all that you think of when you think of Wall Street or Las Vegas or Soho in London or the Reeper Bomb in Hamburg or the red light district of Amsterdam and roll it all into one, and you'd have what Sodom was in that day. Ezekiel the prophet once said, behold, this was the iniquity of Sodom. Pride. Sodom was very proud. They excluded God. They were proud of themselves and the things they had done. And then they were filled with bread, it says, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. In other words, they had all the things that they needed to give them leisure in their lives. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. They ignored the needy and the poor and the oppressed of the world. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. In other words, they were proud, haughty, rich, they had it all, and they neglected the poor and the oppressed of the world. And God said, judgment is going to come. And in Luke, the 17th chapter, as we read, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus, listen to this, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it's going to be similar to the days just before the coming again of Christ. Yes, I believe the Bible teaches in more than 300 places in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is coming back again. That's the hope that beats within the heart of every true believer. Christ was raised from the dead. He is alive. He is at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming back. Now, don't ask me when, because I don't know. He told the disciples, don't try to guess the day nor the hour. Don't speculate. We don't know. But he left us certain signs. I believe that Christ is coming again, and the kingdom of God is going to triumph. And those of us that know Christ and have the kingdom of God within us, we are going to reign with Christ. I'm looking forward to that day when he comes again. Now notice they had that false security. We have a false security too. We trust in our economic strength and our military power. All of that could go in just a moment. Isaiah, the 31st chapter and the first verse says, woe to them that go to a pagan country for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, but they look not unto God, neither seek the Lord. They're not looking to God. We're not seeking the Lord. We're trusting these other things. We're trusting in our dollars and in our pounds, trusting in our military power. And these things will not save us. We need God. We need to seek the Lord. And then the second thing, they had a false sense of security, but they were involved in sinful pleasure. They had become satiated. We too are that way. People want more and more. It's very much like the Roman gladiators and the games in this Colosseum in Rome. They had to get more brutal and more violent to satisfy the people. And then the scripture says that the people of Sodom were too busy for God. They were too busy making a living and having all their pleasures to give any time to God. And that's the way we are. We don't give God first place in our lives. God doesn't demand a legalistic system under which we live. But He does demand first place in our lives. He wants to be the Lord that sits on the throne of your life and controls your life and rules your life. And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven.
You can receive that gift of forgiveness right now. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. Or you can call us at 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. Stay tuned for more of Billy Graham's message here on Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
When it comes to someone finding Jesus Christ, it's not about who gets the credit. What matters is that God gets the glory. The Apostle Paul said, "Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Rene came to understand that well when his dad faced terminal cancer.
My father was not a believer, but 2 weeks before he passed away, a very close dear friend of ours led him to Christ. And I had been talking to him over and over, you know, to try and lead him to Christ, and he just wouldn't listen to me. But it only took half an hour for a friend of ours to do so.
It wasn't the who that mattered, it was the what.
That was just the biggest burden in my heart, and my father got a chance to go be with God. And that was awesome.
Have you been telling someone about Christ? Don't give up, and don't underestimate how God may be working. Find encouragement at billygraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith, billygraham.org.
We're glad you're with us for this edition of Peace with God. A never-before-seen message from Billy Graham is set to be released this fall as part of My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham. The message is titled Heaven.
My dear friend Billy Graham and I have often talked about heaven, what it's going to be like.
Cliff Barrows has served as the music director for Billy Graham Crusades since the 1940s.
You know, when we're young, we think we got all of life to live, but oh, how quickly it passes. And he says, I'm so aware of the immediacy, the shortness of time.
Billy Graham's teaching on heaven appears in the new film that's being produced for My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham. Steve Rhodes heads up the My Hope outreach.
We've seen a lot of churches really become engaged that maybe weren't engaged last year because they see this as a real opportunity to preach the gospel.
My Hope with Billy Graham, says Steve, is designed to help local churches share Christ with their communities. And the new film is meant to serve as a big part of that effort.
The new film called Heaven will be out November the 7th, but that doesn't mean that the church would have to be engaged November 7th. It could be the following weekend, could be a midweek service. It could even run the entire month of November or in the run-up to Christmas. But you need a specific target.
During last year's My Hope outreach, millions of people watched Billy Graham's message, The Cross. You can learn more about this year's outreach by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on What We Do. And to hear more of our conversation with Cliff Barrows and Steve Rhodes, go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on TV and Radio. Look for interviews and stories.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Today, Billy Graham's using the ancient city of Sodom as a case study for his teaching on self-destructive living. So far, he's pointed out that the people of Sodom had a false sense of security, were too caught up in pleasure, and were too busy for God.
And then they were guilty of idolatry, idolatry. That's the sin that God hates the most, and that's the sin of the Western world today, and it's the sin of the whole world. Romans 1:25 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. And in Revelation 21:8 it says, idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is called the second death. That's what the Bible says. That's not Billy Graham. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. And anything in your life that takes the place of God becomes your God. Anything that you think more of and takes your time more than the living God becomes your God. And then the next thing that they were guilty of was sex perversion. One of the last directions that a nation takes before judgment is this. Usually found in an affluent society. Not normal sex relations. Perversions of various sorts. Trying to find new ways to get kicks out of sex. Now, in the midst of all this place, Sodom lived Lot. He had chosen Sodom to make his home. And the scripture says that he was miserable and he was vexed. You see, Lot's trouble was that he had one foot in the kingdom of God and the other foot in a sinful world. And he was caught between. He wasn't happy in the sinful world and he wasn't happy in the kingdom of God. And there are many of you like that. You go to church, you're a member of a church, and you believe in God with your head, and once in a while you read the Bible, and you have a religious outward appearance, but deep inside your heart, you know that your heart belongs to the world. The cosmos, this world system, which is dominated by evil. Many of you have a Christian heritage. Your parents were Christians. You learned from the Bible in school. And you are now a man or a woman of the world or a young person, but you're never really satisfied with your relationship to God. Something's wrong. Something's lacking. Something's missing. You know what it is? Maybe you haven't been born again. Maybe you haven't really received Christ totally and completely as your Lord and Savior. And tonight is your night to make that commitment. And you can do it tonight. God warns Sodom, and he sent two messengers to warn them. But Lot's wife didn't believe, but he did. The messengers warned the wife, said, "Don't look back." Lot's wife disbelieved and turned into a pillar of salt as she had been warned. The wrath of God was poured out on Sodom. And Lot's wife. Now, what is the lesson we learn from that statement? Remember Lot's wife. Why did Jesus say it? First, remember she was the wife of Abraham's nephew, and she had lived in Abraham's tent. And many times she had seen the power of God, and to whom much is given, much is required. You've been brought up with Christianity all around, with Bibles everywhere, with churches on every corner almost. And you are going to be held far more responsible at the judgment than those people in China or someplace that never heard. And then secondly, remember what a wrong marriage can do. She was a Canaanite, and God had forbidden his people to marry these pagan tribes round about them. How many men and women have been destroyed by marrying the wrong person who influenced them the wrong way? That's the reason you should marry God's choice. And then thirdly, I think Jesus said it because we're to remember her sin. It seems such a small sin, but it represented something far deeper. It represented unbelief over many years. It represented rebellion against God on many occasions. God, in his mercy, was giving her another chance. And God said, "Don't look back. Don't look back to Sodom. Sodom is controlled by the devil. Don't look back." But she couldn't help it. Her heart was still in Sodom. even though she was escaping the judgment. Her sin didn't seem to be so great just to look back, but it was something deeper inside of her that caused her to look back. And then remember, fourthly, that she was almost saved. They were at the gate of Zoar, the city of refuge. You see, in those days, they had cities where people could run to if they'd committed a crime or committed murder until they could get their lawyers set and get everything organized, because people would lynch them or stone them just with the drop of a hat in those days. So there were cities of refuge that they could run to. And they were right on the edge of Zoar when she turned and looked back. And it was that moment she turned into a pillar of salt. Now the Bible says that Agrippa, the great king, heard Paul preach, and he was almost persuaded, but he hardened his heart. Many of you are almost persuaded to give your life to Christ, but you're going to take a chance that you can make it without it. Some of you are. And then fifthly, remember that she was offered salvation. Christ is the place of salvation and refuge. It's at the cross where God poured out his love and where our sins were borne by Christ. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. He took your sins and my sins. He took my judgment. He took the hell that I deserved on that cross. And when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because God was looking not at him. God didn't forsake his son. He forsook the sin that he became because of you. He took the hell that we deserve. She was offered salvation. She could have been saved. That's what they were trying to do, was to get her to the place of safety. And then sixthly, remember that God never judges without warning. He always warns. And someday you will see this picture when you stand at the judgment of God, and you'll know that you were warned, but you didn't accept. And then seventhly, remember when God warns, there's danger and delay. The scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. Don't put it off. He that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Come to Christ while you can. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I'm going to ask you to flee to the place of safety. The only safe and secure place in this whole world is at the cross of Christ.
You can learn more about the safety that's found in the cross of Jesus Christ by going to peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. If you'd rather call us, our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
Billy Graham taught today on the importance of keeping your spiritual eyes fixed on God. If you don't, says his grandson Will, you're likely to end up with a mess on your hands.
Have you ever gone through a drive-thru and ordered a drink, and when you got it, it started to leak? Nothing is worse. But the Bible says that when we choose to put our trust in ourselves instead of God, we become like those leaky cups. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 says that we have dug our own cisterns that cannot hold water. This simply means that instead of trusting God, who is the living water, we decide to build our own source of hope. But our source is no good. Ultimately, it will leak. When we choose to put our trust in our own accomplishments instead of God, then all our hope will simply disappear like water in a leaky cup. But yet, when we choose to put our faith in God, our hope will never run dry. In other words, God will never leave us nor disappoint us. Putting faith in our own efforts is water in a broken cistern. It will never sustain us. So therefore, live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
You can help us tell others about the importance of putting their faith in Jesus through your prayers and financial support.
Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give at the top of the page. Or you can call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You can also use that number to request a free CD copy of today's program. The number again is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Next week here on Peace with God, get ready to answer this question. Who is Jesus?
And the answer that you give will determine where you are 1,000 years from today.
Be sure to join us again next week at the same time for another edition of Peace with God. And feel free to listen anytime online at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on TV and radio. I'm Bill Meyer, and thanks for being with us today.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.